Take your Bible, turn to the book of James with me tonight. James chapter 1, I'm going to begin reading verse number 12. Book of James chapter number 1. Not very far, down to verse number 18. Chapter number 1, verse number 12. Says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift of love is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank you this evening for the wondrous word of God that we can have. Now, Lord, I pray tonight that you might work in this time. Teach us, speak to us, use us for your glory. Spirit of God, I pray that you might anoint, and that through it that your people might rejoice. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Christmas time is always a wonderful time. I remember as a boy, Christmas was very unique in our house. I suppose not any more unique than anybody else, but it was ours. And there was five kids. I had three older brothers and a sister that's older than me. I'm the youngest of five. And my three brothers were married. Matter of fact, I was only 1 year old when my second brother was married. And they would all come home for Christmas. I'd have to stop and count it up, but I forgot. I think there's like 20 nieces and nephews, 21 somewhere near. And so they would come home, and that bunch would come home as well, and we'd have Christmas together, big meal together. My mother loved to cook, and she was a good cook. I'm thankful that all the years I've lived, I've never been without a good cook. It's a wonder I'm not 483 pounds. My oldest brother, I think it was his lot in life to show everybody that food was made to consume in great quantities. And when we sat down to dinner, he would pile his plate as full as it would get. Matter of fact, if there were sideboards, he would have put them on there. And he literally, it would round itself over as tall as it could get. He'd sit down before anybody was finished. He'd be done and do it again. And sometimes a third time. And, of course, everybody, we just had a good time together. Being the youngest, some of my nephews were close to my age. I find this interesting. I have nephews that are retired, drawing their pensions and Social Security, and several getting close to it. But it was always a great time. When we got married, things changed a little bit. And as we began to do some of our own things and what have you, we lived away from the area for 6 years, and so we began some of our own traditions and thoughts and different things. And one of the things that I sought to do from way back in those days was try to teach verse 17 to my kids. And it's really the theme tonight. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from where? From above. And it tells us exactly where. And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We'll look at that more closely. And so I look at this time of year as a wonderful time. But I will tell you this, it poses some problems for God's people. Now, pose some particular problems for us because I never taught my children about Santa Claus. They learned about him. I mean, everybody says, what's Santa Claus getting you? Sometimes they look at you like, we don't know. Who is he, you know? And tried to teach them, hey, the way to, you know, to deal with that is, hey, the Lord Jesus Christ is he who supplies in our lives. And throughout the years, we saw that take place over and over, especially at Christmas time, as God blessed in many different ways. But when we look at Christmas, you may be surprised to know that this time of year is really primarily pagan. And it was later Christianized, if you can use that word. And so some Christians have a problem with its entirety. And, of course, God's people have problems with a lot of different things, but that'd be a case. There was a time in the Roman tradition where they would celebrate the winter solstice, and it was right at this time of the year. And many of the Christians didn't want to partake of that. And towards the end of the reign of the Roman Empire, some of the Caesars, I forgot their names, when it came to some of the end of those, we find that actually Christianity became a legalized part of their religious outlook. And so there were those who brought it in. Some history there. Depends on who you read as to what you get from some of those things. I know there's controversy and things like that. I understand that. A lot of folks say, well, Jesus wasn't born on the 25th of December. I would believe you're probably right. It's interesting, the Bible doesn't tell us what day. Maybe there's a reason for that. We don't know what day he was born, but this is one thing I do know he was. I know he was. And I thank the Lord for that, that he came to this world. There's a number of things we look at. For instance, I always chuckle inside when I see a manger scene. I know there's a lot of controversy and so forth that takes place in the public square. But when you look at the wise men at the stable, that just was not there. They were almost 2 years later as they brought their gifts. And by the way, their gifts is interesting because these wise men, as you would if you went to see a potentate of some sort, a king, you would bring a gift. I found it tremendously interesting as I was reading and thinking about King Solomon, who was probably the wealthiest king who ever lived. And yet when, why have I lost her name? I want to say Bathsheba all of a sudden. What's that? Who's the woman that came, the Queen of Sheba? When she came, not Bathsheba, the queen of, already. And when she came to visit, she brought a gift for him. Why, that was the thing to do. And of course, we know that through that gift of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, there was provision made for Mary and Joseph, or they had to flee down into the land of Egypt. And though that manger scene may be inaccurate and so forth, but we do know the shepherds were summoned that they might witness the earthly appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was important that God let them know about that time. And praise the Lord. Our gifts to each other, really I don't believe have the root in the three wise men. But certainly when we gift somebody, it's an expression of our joy and our love. And that's always acceptable. And I just say thank the Lord for that. I do have a problem. I think it's my biggest problem when it comes to the matter of Christmas, and that is with all the hoopla that goes on, oftentimes we forget about glorifying the gift of God to mankind, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that true? This world is going to do what it's going to do. We have to understand when the world does things, they don't have the Spirit of God in them. They don't have Him teaching them. They're going to sin. They're going to do things that are wrong and evil and upside down and inside out. But God's people, with the Spirit of God in them, ought to recognize something very vital. It's not just a holiday to buy and consume upon the lust. And I'm going to get into that in just a moment. But it's certainly a time when we can bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I like the fact that in stores and different places, sometimes we can hear the Christmas carols being played. I know they're going to sing a lot of the pagan style, and some of those are fun songs and so forth, but at the same time, I mean, when you walk in the store and you can hear, you know, "O Come All Ye Faithful" being played, that's refreshing to me. By the way, it gives us opportunity to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. But what I want to deal with tonight is, I believe that this is a time of year that we can take opportunity and teach our children some wonderful, valuable lessons. And those who are around about us, not only our children, but even in our family circles, about a Savior who was born of a virgin. Now think about that for a moment. A woman who had never been with a man, and yet God places in her womb a child. And this child is born of the Holy Spirit who has impregnated a woman. Magnificent. And thus we find as a result of that is God who is made flesh. Talks about God being manifest in the flesh. That means He was made in the flesh. He's made known to us in the flesh. And He came for a purpose. And the biggest purpose, birth must be there in order to die, but the big purpose was that He might die and shed His blood for you and for me. By the way, never discount the blood of Christ. One of these days I'm going to share a message with you on the death and the blood and how important it is that we remember the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are those who would say that it's not important. There are those who are very well known amongst Christians that would say it's not. It's the death of Christ that's what saved us. And yet we find many scriptures that talk about without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, the Bible teaches us. And so He came that you and I might have a Savior. If all Christmas is to our youth a time to receive and to consume it upon their lusts, then we have contributed to their demise rather than their determination to live for Christ. Let me repeat that once again because that's very important. Christmas to me was a wonderful time. My brothers and my sister and their families had come home. I enjoyed and all the things I mentioned, but this is what I did not mention. I look forward to Christmas because I was going to get all kinds of stuff. I love my mother and my father. I appreciate the many things that they taught me and did for me, but one thing they did not do for me was teach me the importance of giving, especially in those early years. And so for me, it was about consuming it upon my lusts. It's an interesting thing because as we look in the chapter here and we find it talking about lust and what it does to it, it says, when lust hath conceived, in verse 15, what's it do? It bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And so sometimes in our desire to give and all things, we end up contributing to the wrong nature of a person. I am not saying tonight don't give to your children. Don't misunderstand that. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying don't give gifts, but we need to understand a few things. I want to share that with you tonight. And basically two things. One is we need to teach them of the greatest of all givers and His greatest gift. Again, look at verse number 17. Every, what kind of gift? Good. And every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variables, neither shadow of turning. Our text spells out very plainly in verse 15, as we noted, the evils of lust and what it brings forth. And yet God wants us to understand within this context, don't err in something, understand something. Every good gift is ultimately from God. And may I also say, every good gift is ultimately to God. If we would look at it in the proper perspective, I think it would be tremendous for us. All of God's gifts are good. Whether they be physical, thank God for health, thank God for the things that He gives us, water to drink, air to breathe, food to eat. Whether they be spiritual, the wondrous Word of God, the Spirit of God that ministers to the soul. Whether it be mental, helping us to remember and to understand things, or even the emotional. Aren't you glad for the emotions of love and joy and peace? And those good gifts come from God. All of God's gifts, they are good. Now, we find in our world today there are a number of folks who want to blame God for a lot of things. They say, well, all the evil that is there, why did God let that? No man brought that about. Let's understand who caused the problem. When God got done creating everything, he said it is very good. He had given us to it in that shape, and God gave us one command that we were to obey, and that was not to eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Of course, what did we do? And I use the word we there because we are in Adam and Eve. We partook of that. And we sinned against God, and we brought upon ourselves all the problems we have today. But God is good. When we look at this, it says it is from above. And then he uses the term, cometh down from the Father of lights. And then he uses this phrase, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And all of a sudden, in my heart and my mind, I think that God is trying to share with us a comparison, maybe I say comparison and contrast as well, of that of the Son. And please don't misunderstand, I'm not calling the Son of God. Far from it. But what does the Son supply? It supplies light. It supplies heat. What does God supply through the Son? Of course, we get our light from it. We get heat. But did you know we had light before the Son was created? On the first day, God what? Created light. The sun and moon and stars was not until, I believe, the fourth day. Interesting. But we find that they are, it is a supplier of that. Now here's the contrast. When the sun is in the sky, there are a number of things that can block those rays. If you're in the hot sun in the middle of the summer and you're out there working, it's a marvelous thing when you look up and see a cloud coming to block that sun from those hot rays. But once the middle of the winter and the clouds come across the sky and blocks those rays and we shiver a little bit, we don't find it quite as good, do we? But in either case, they're there. The sun also, we find, has different positions within the sky as far as our earth is concerned. Northern hemisphere, that the sun is on the northern side of the equator. And so we look up in the sky and we can see it in that perspective. In the winter, it's farther towards the south. And for instance, the shadow that's off of the building over here right now, off of the gymnasium, is much longer than it is during the summertime. And when it snows and ice forms over there, the sun will not hit it until about May or June. And so we got to use salt and all those wonderful things. But anyways, it changes. We find the rotation of the earth as it goes around and around. What takes place? Right now it's dark out. We don't see the sun. In about 8 or 9 hours, we'll know, we call it the sun rising, and we'll be able to see the sun once again. Tomorrow they're telling us that we might not see much sun because of clouds and maybe even some of those other flake things that everybody gets excited about. But we find things affect that sunlight. But understand this. Did you notice there, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning? Though the sun might have things that affect it, always remember this. God is always the same. He changeth not. There's no variableness in his character. God always is the same way. For God so loved, he's always so loved, he always will so love. God is just, he always will be, always has been. We find that his character never changes. I'll tell you something else I'm very thankful for, and that is his word does not change. I'm very thankful for that. Just a little sidelight there. I've been reading some things more than I have in the... what a blessing it is. I can pick up this King James Bible of mine and know not only did God give us the original language and the text, But we have a God who can preserve it. And I believe he did so in the King James Version. God's anointed and blessed it through the years. And it's amazing to me that I can have this book and know, thus saith the Lord, with whom is no variableness. A lot of folks say, well, the Word of God needed change because there's a lot of these and thous in there, and I don't understand these and thous. By the way, every time you see something that starts with a T, it's in the singular. Every time you see it start with a Y, it's in the plural. T comes ahead of Y, singular is before plural. Not too hard to remember. If I look out here at Vicki and I say you, that could be referring to the whole crowd, or it could be referring to Vicki. But if I look at her and say it's to thee, it's nobody else. And so the Word of God gets very particular. And by the way, the Hebrew and the Greek is written that way. Folks say, well, we don't speak that way anymore. Did you know this? They did not speak it that way in the day of King James either. That is biblical language. The words were there, but they didn't really use them. But God had our translators use that so we could make some sense. Very simple little thing, but yet very important. He changeth not. He changeth not in these words. Aren't you glad of that? You can have the same Word of God that your ancestors have had. Thank God for that. And we must see, and here's what I hope that we can get across to our young folks. We need to understand that every gift we receive is ultimately from whom? It's from God. We teach our children to thank different people for the things that come their direction, and that is good. But at the same time, wouldn't it be good that we sit down and thank God for the provision He's had? And we often do that when we eat our meals. I hope that you pray before a meal and thank the Lord for the provisions come your way. And it's interesting, little children, they pray sometimes, say thank you for the meat and the potatoes, and they leave out the peas. Because they don't like them. But anyways, you know, thank God for everything that comes that way. But also, so much, and I didn't do this as I should have, but thank you, Lord, for the heat is in the house. Thank you, Lord, for the walls that are standing up. And thank you that though the winds blow, they don't come through. I remember when I was a little boy, when the winds blew, it came through. We never thought that when there was a gap about so wide at the bottom of the door that, you know, if you put something down there that wouldn't come blowing through there like it did. And you wouldn't have snow all over the porch or within the house. And if you put something over that glass that got cracked and the wind blows, it wouldn't come seeping through. And so, you know, we just thank the Lord for those things. But I believe something else. Not only do we need to teach our children from whence every gift comes and help them to understand that and help them to memorize a verse like this and to be so thankful for what God provided. And again, sometimes they make a mistake and we allow them to get all excited about, I want this, I want this, I want this. And kids got that kind of nature anyways. But to be thankful and to realize where it came from and God supplied it. And if you're a dad or you're a mom, you know that the ability that whatever it is that God has given you to earn the money to buy the things, it is from God. And I believe they need to understand that. But we also need to teach them something else, and that is that giving is being like God. Verse 18 says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. First fruits was that which was offered to God first. And you and I ought to, first of all, offer ourselves to God at all seasons. Not just Christmas, but at all seasons. And as the first fruit, that which is saying, here, God, here I am for you. Now I become an instrument to show others the wonderful gift of God. And how do we do that? Through gifts. Through gifts. Consider tonight, a gift is something you work for, something you paid for, whatever it might be, and they did not. It's something that is accepted free of charge. They don't have to work for it. What a blessing that we can teach that to our kids. And so I hope that you'll do something else this year that I missed out on. And I don't condemn my parents for it, but the wonderful privilege that we have not only to receive all the blessings of God, but also to be like Him and to give. I thank my wife. There's been two people in my life that have taught me more about giving than anybody else. She'd be the very first. And I've seen it exampled in her life, as especially when kids want this or that, grandkids or whatever. I've seen her not eat the rest of the meal so they can have something. And maybe fix something a little later for herself. I've seen that over the years, over and over and over again. And it's taught me so much. And in days when I was so selfish-minded and so afraid to give anything, I saw her do that. And I saw how God took care of those things and taught me some wonderful lessons. By the way, the other one was Brother Kimmel, a man that I saw giving himself to churches and to people, and especially missionaries. It was incredible what he did in his life. But we have the privilege and the opportunity to help people to see a marvelous God who wants to give them the everlasting life. 4th of July, I don't remember how many I bought. I was somewhere and I saw the caps. I think we maybe gave some out here, I'm not sure. Had an American flag or an eagle or something on. Did I give those out here? I don't remember what I did. But I remember I bought several of those and took them over to the MEP Center. It was incredible to see something, because one of the things I've noticed is there are certain men you can talk to and some who just, they see, you know, they know your chaplain, they just clam up because of whatever is in their life. And so I made it a purpose to give one of those to those who are like that. And it's amazing the open door that it gave to me that I didn't really have before. And one who would duck and hide if he saw me coming, he doesn't anymore. Not got a whole long ways. But how do we show the love of God? Through gifting. And I look at this and I think of the time of the year we're in, and Christmas and all the hoopla that goes on in the world, and whether you like it or don't like it, or how you feel about it is not important to me. Whether you do certain things, you're going to do them one way or the other, whatever. That's not my real thought tonight. My real thought tonight is, let's help people understand that every good gift has come down from God. And especially our children, those around about us. And somehow that we might be able to express that to our family members who don't know Christ their Savior. And it might cost you something to do that. Because as we give, it's amazing how that opens doors and shows people that we can be Christ-like. We don't need to be Scrooges. Isn't that true? And what a privilege it is ours. I hope this is somewhat of a blessing to you. I hope it can teach us something. But I want Christmas to mean something very, very real as far as Christ is concerned. It's about Him. It's about His coming. Hey, we get excited about His second coming. Amen? And I'm excited it came the first time. And to celebrate it, yeah, I don't know when it was. I saw an article last year. I thought it was a great article because the guy, he'd done a whole lot of work and went back to that particular era and looked at the sun and the moon and some of the scriptures that's from the Old Testament, and he came up with the date of September 11th. I read that and I thought, you gotta be joking me. There are many folks who believe it was sometime in September because that was a time that often the shepherds were out in the fields at night, as it describes. I don't know when it was. What matters is he came, amen? And I like singing Christmas carols in December. I kind of like them in July sometimes too, don't you? Huh? Yeah. My favorite Christmas carol is Joy to the World. Amen. It's just, that's one of them. I love that song. And you know, it's kind of like at Easter, you know, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. And sometimes we relegate those to seasons. But oh my goodness, we can talk about the coming of our Lord the first time, any time. Amen. But it's a great time of year because folks are focused on it because of all the traditions that have developed down through the years and so forth. But let Christ be that which gets the glory. That's the important part.